The nature and nurture debate, one of the most ancient and important questions humans have ever asked, and with good reason. Are people more affected by their upbringing, or is their character and personality essentially predetermined from birth? Today, we will present both views of the debate in hopes of answering these questions. Hello, my name is Rachel Kwan.
And my name is Anand Krishnan. Welcome to our podcast. First, we will talk from the nurture standpoint, an excellent example of which is the case of convicted murderer Richard Ramirez. Serial killers are often the best example of the impact a person's upbringing can have on their outcome in life, as they have often experienced extensive childhood trauma and are very much affected by it. Richard Ramirez was born in Texas in the 1960s to an abusive father and a mother that simply stood by, so naturally, he turned to others as role models. He was heavily influenced by his cousin Mike, a Vietnam War veteran who often showed off the atrocities committed by himself and other American soldiers abroad. This desensitized Richard to such violence, and when he would go on to commit such crimes later in his life, he would think them as commonplace in society and think nothing of them, when in fact they were terrible things. Additionally, Ramirez was taught skills that he later used to kill his victims by his veteran cousins, such as stealth and riflery. According to Dr. Nicola Davies, quote, personal traumas can affect behavioral choices. Take the example of murderer Richard the Night Stalker Ramirez. Ramirez had a disturbed childhood, enduring brutal beatings by his father. End quote. Ramirez's troubled childhood, as noted earlier, had a lasting effect on his personality and his actions later in life. Had it not been for his veteran cousin and his abusive father, he may have turned out to be an altogether different person from the serial killer we know him to be today. This can be said of many such criminals, who could have been benefits to society instead of detriments to it. A quick note before we continue, we are using serial killers in this podcast because they represent the extent to which nurture can affect a person, while, as we will find out later, they are not the most common in society. They represent the extent to which, and they are worth studying for that very fact. So now let's get to another serial killer who represents the neglect. While Ramirez represented the abuse, the effect that abuse can have, Donald Gaskins will represent the neglect. According to a study conducted by the National Criminal Justice Reference Service, quote, without intervention at crucial points in childhood development, neglected children are at high risk for growing up to become violent murderers, end quote. Donald Gaskins was another serial killer with a woeful childhood, being neglected by his mother so much that he reportedly found out his birth name at a court hearing when he was 10 years old. Another instance came when he was 3 years old and he contracted a severe illness and was not taken to the hospital or given any proper treatment for it. All of these events influenced his development as a serial killer instead of a normal member of society. In his case, it can be noted that the crimes he committed were reflective of his childhood in the sense that they were all against women, as his mother was the one who was charged with taking care of him and thus did not, which can be said for many other such serial killers. Now that we have looked at two case studies of serial killers, let's look at some statistics. According to a Radford University study, the prevalence of abuse in serial killers' childhood is 68%, or 34 serial killers out of a normal sample of 50, compared to the prevalence in the normal population of 30%, which is 15 people out of a random sample of 50. Holding the assumption that serial killers and the normal population have the same rate of childhood abuse, we can conduct a hypothesis test with the null hypothesis, or the value that we're assuming, being that the two proportions are actually equal and that serial killers and normal members of society happen by chance, and the alternate hypothesis being that abuse actually affects the development of serial killers. If we conduct this hypothesis test, we get a p-value of 4.59 times 10 to the negative 6th power, which is an incredibly small probability. Since this p-value is far below any reasonable significance level, we can conclude that abuse does in fact contribute to the development of a serial killer and that they have a somewhat causal relationship, meaning that nurture in fact does affect the person's outcome in life. Additionally to the statistic and these two case studies, I interviewed my mom and she had some very interesting things to say in reference to nurture. Let's take a listen.
There is also this other field of epigenetics. I don't know if you've heard of epigenetics. Yes. It's an interesting field that actually says that the genes will always be there, but if you don't give the right environment, they will never express themselves.
Essentially what my mom believes, and which I think many more people do, is that nature can only affect the development of a person to a certain extent. If the right environment or the nurture is not present, then the genes, or the nature of the person, cannot be fully expressed and will thus not affect the person as much as their nurture will. However, if the environment is right for those genes to be expressed, then the nature of the person will also influence the person's outcome in life, along with his or her nurture. We can be seen in both circumstances that the nurture affects the outcome of the person in both circumstances, while the nature only affects if the nurture is right. So in conclusion, we have now seen some statistical evidence for the impact of nurture on the outcome of a person, as well as two case studies of serial killers and an interview. The nature side to this argument is very informative and interesting as well, so let us dive a little deeper there.
Not only does our upbringing and environment play a role in shaping our behavior, but biological predispositions play just as an important role of affecting personality and behavior. A study known as the Minnesota Study of Twins, Reared Apart, studied 350 pairs of twins. According to Kendra Cherry and David Sussman, quote, results revealed that the personalities of identical twins were similar whether they were raised in the same household or apart, suggesting that some aspects of personality are influenced by genetics, end quote. To synthesize the study, the personality traits of identical and fraternal twins were analyzed. In the study, some of the twins were raised in different environments. However, the results of the study showed that certain aspects of the twins were identical, even if they were raised in different environments. This study shows the influence of nature on our personality. Our genes encode information that make up our personality, and even in different environments, these genes prevail, and their effects are clearly represented in our respective personalities. Another study proving nature's importance was conducted by a leading University of Chicago neuroscientist. He examined the brain scans of 800 incarcerated men. According to Jack Wang, the study, quote, found that individuals who had committed or attempted homicide have reduced gray matter when compared to those involved in other offenses. These reductions were especially apparent in regions of the brain associated with emotional processing, behavioral control, and social cognition, end quote. According to Professor Jean Dicity, this means, quote, more gray matter means more cells, neurons, and glia. That's what you need to make computations, to process information. Whether it's emotional information that you use to feel empathy for someone else, or information that you use to control your behavior, to suppress your tendencies to react, end quote. After the neuroscientist examined 800 brain scans of the incarcerated men, they found a prevalence of reduced gray matters in regions of the brain that help to control impulses and emotional processing. The reduced gray matter means that there are less cells, neurons, and glia to help a person process information, which reduces their ability to feel empathy for others and to control their own behavior. This means that many of the prisoners with homicidal thoughts often had biological implications that spurred these homicidal behaviors. When asked whether nurture or nature was more influential in dictating a person's behavior, my father replied,
personally, I think that nature affects humans' behavior more. Nature is the biological way humans are programmed from their birth to act. While the environment we're placed in definitely has an effect on behavior, our genetics and biological makeup still come into play and dictate a huge part of our behavior.
What my father is basically saying is that our nature creates biological predispositions that we cannot escape from. At the core of our personality lies the genetics that encodes for these personality traits. In addition, the argument of nature is supplemented by particular events in The Lord of the Flies. Recently in class, we have been reading a novel called Lord of the Flies by William Golding. This book is a great example of the nature versus nurture debate. When a group of boys are stranded on an island after their plane crashes, two different groups propose two drastically different ideas for survival. One side proposes that the boys try to make a fire in the hopes of rescue, while the other wishes to simply play around, kill pigs, and over time turns into a savage cult. The battle between nature and nurture is shown on page 70 when Golding says, quote, the two boys faced each other. There was the brilliant world of hunting, tactics, fierce exhilaration, skill. And there was the world of longing and baffled common sense, end quote. This quote shows the battle between nature and nurture that exists throughout the book. Ralph represents the effects of nurture, whereas Jack represents the effects of our biological nature. Nature plays a large role in affecting the behaviors of the boys on the island. This is shown on page 64 when Golding says, quote, He capered towards Bill, and the mask was a thing on its own, behind which Jack hid, liberated from shame and self-consciousness. End quote. In this section of The Lord of the Flies, Jack is smearing charcoal and red clay over his face as a form of camouflage in preparation for hunting. The face paint becomes a mask behind which Jack's humanity and nurture hides under. Beneath the mask, Jack is finally liberated from his upbringing and ties to the civilization that had forced him to act in a civilized manner.
When the boys are first meeting to discuss their fate on the island, Ralph says, quote, "If a ship comes near the island, they may not notice us. So you must make smoke on the top of the mountain. You must make a fire," end quote. In The Lord of the Flies, the nurture element of human behavior is mainly represented by Piggy and Ralph, who seem to be the most civilized minds on the island. They hold on to the idea of the fire as a means to draw ships to rescue them, whereas the others are more concerned with amusing themselves in the moment or hunting pigs. This civilized element is the result of them being more exposed to normal society, which has instilled certain values in them that are harder to break than the rest of the group, who fall prey to their savage instincts later on in the book.
As you can see, both sides of the nature versus nurture debate are represented in Lord of the Flies, with the nature being Jack and the savages, and nurture being Ralph and Piggy.
The nature and nurture debate is less of a one-sided issue than a duality, with both nature and nurture affecting the development and growth of any person. It can be nicely summarized in a quote by Dr. Anthony Biglin, who states, quote, "If we assume that the outcome of human development is out of control, then we will allow the problems of human behavior that have plagued us for centuries to continue," end quote. Regardless of what truly is the main influence for human behavior, we must take the reins of destiny into our own hands instead of assuming that it is beyond our control. Only then will the human race improve as a whole.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you really enjoyed it.